Great song service this morning. I enjoyed that. Man, singing about Jesus Christ. I think we've gone through the plan of salvation probably 10 times already today. So there's no excuse. If you're not saved, make sure today is the day that you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He'll change your life. He'll change your life. Acts chapter 27 this morning. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, we'll read one verse this morning, verse 44. Acts chapter 27. Acts 27, 44, it says this, "And the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." Let's pray. God, we are overwhelmed by your goodness to us, Lord God, as we come another Sunday morning to worship you in your house. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful weather you've given us today, Lord, and Lord, the health we all have to be here, Lord, some in different places, Lord, we thank you for some answers to prayer this week, Lord God. We don't want those to slide by and just think that it's commonplace, Lord God. You touched, you intervened, you did something in somebody's life this week, Lord God, and you are real. God, I pray, Lord, there's someone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord God. I pray today would be their day. Lord, they would come to that saving knowledge of you. Lord God, the Bible says, Lord, that at the name of Jesus, at the end of all the world, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord God, I want to be on that side. I want to be on the side of Jesus Christ. Lord, you've done it all for me. Lord, there's no way. Lord, I was thinking this morning, there's no way I should be in the place that I am in today. There's no way. Lord God, it's undeserved. Lord God, I so thank you, Lord, for taking this old sinner, Lord God, dying on the cross for him, shedding your blood for me, Lord God, that I could go to heaven. It's not fair, I don't understand it, but praise the Lord, and your word, you say it's true. Lord God, I pray that you'd be with us this morning. Lord, we've been looking forward to another message this morning, and Acts been such a great series. Lord, I pray that you would touch Pastor John Mark as he speaks. Lord God, I pray you'd come down, you'd be here this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And as always, man, thanks for the great music this morning in our choir. And what a great song as well, "Of My Soul," and our junior choir. Great job. Great job on that. Man, to teach your children that, "When I See the Blood, I will pass over you." Think about what the blood of Christ has done for us. And man, thank you for that. And Mrs. Stephanie with the offertory. Man, great job on that. And then our congregational singing. Man, great job on that too. I'm thinking the second song we sang, "He Lives." And the author that wrote that was a preacher. And heard a guy on the radio that was a liberal talk about the fact that he didn't know that that Jesus had really risen from the dead. And this preacher said, "I know he's alive because he lives within my heart today," right? And he wrote that song that we sing a lot at Easter, but I like to sing it all year long. And so, man, great music this morning. And appreciate you being here. And by the way, I ran through this pretty quickly, but let me just back up a second. I mentioned the answer to prayer of Brother Bill, and I mentioned Mrs. Connie Suttle in here this morning. But last week at this time, doctor said, as best we knew, that she had had a stroke or series of strokes and that she was going to have to recover from that. And what happened was that it was not the case. And so no stroke at all. And God brought her back to full health here, and she's doing great this morning. So I wanted to give you sort of update on that and just the answer to prayer there. So anyway, great to... great to see that, God do that, and then the music, appreciate that this morning. Acts chapter 27, we read verse 44, and we're continuing what we started last week. This is a trip that Paul's having to make to Rome as a prisoner, and so he's put on board this ship, and we won't go through the whole story of last week, but Paul gave them some instruction right before they ever left and said it's best not to go. They didn't listen to him, and then we went through the whole story there of that first part of the voyage. And of course, we talked last week about this. Paul said, "I believe the word of God,
I believe that God's going to do what he said. And let me tell you this morning, that's still true today, all right? God's still going to do what he said he was going to do. I'm thankful for that. The way I know I'm going to heaven this morning, because I believe that God's going to do what he said he was going to do. And he said if we trusted him, if we went and we accepted Jesus Christ, then God is the one that has to take us to heaven. I mentioned Sunday school this morning. Mom and Dad, 57 years ago today, they trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And still saved, right? Still saved. Mom's still saved this morning. And on their way to heaven, on her way to heaven. And because of that, we were influenced. Now, I wasn't born saved, or I didn't get saved just because Mom and Dad got saved, but I was brought up in a Christian home, and I did have the opportunity to come to church, and I did hear the gospel because Mom and Dad brought me to a place where I could hear it, and I got saved when I was 7 years old. And so I'm so thankful that the reason I'm going to heaven today is because God's going to take me there. He's going to fulfill his promise, because I believe that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. And so we talked about that last week. This week, we move a little further. They're still on the voyage here, but Paul has told them what's about to happen. And so he's given them some. In fact, look back up a little bit in chapter 27, in the verse we finished up with last time, verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Verse 26, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. It's interesting, the promises of God don't always come today or tomorrow. And just an interesting sort of by way of introduction, Paul says God's going to, yes, he's going to save us. We are going to have to be cast on this island. And you think about in the stories in the Word of God. And God gave Joseph a promise. And his promise to Joseph was what? That your family, they're going to one day back. But it took a little while, right? It took going through being sold into slavery. It took some time in jail till finally God brought that about. We've been talking in Sunday school about David. God anointed David as king. You were going to be king. But it took a little while. It took a little while. He had to go through some things before he became king. God's promises are always true, but understand this, sometimes you have to go through some things in here. He says, God's going to save us, yes. We've got to take a little detour here to this island, and understand that, verse 27, I want to show you a couple things here. It says, when the 14th night was come. So were they saved that day? Was it? No. It's going to take a while. 14th night was come. As we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded. And found it 20 fathoms. When they gone a little further, they sound again and found it 15 fathoms. So getting closer and closer. Verse 29, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Look at verse 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they let down the boat into the sea under color, so they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. The first thing is this. Paul said, if anybody leaves, if anybody goes outside here of what I've told them to do, then they will not. You cannot be saved. These shipmen, you know what they're trying to do? They were looking out for themselves. In fact, they're being deceitful here. It tells us here in that verse, in verse number 30, at the end of the verse, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. They were pretending like they were going to do, hey, we're going to take, but what they're trying to do, instead of cast anchors, they're trying to leave. They're trying to get out of there. You know what they're looking out for? They're not only deceitful, they're also selfish. They're trying to save themselves. Let me tell you something this morning. You cannot save yourself. You cannot. They were trying to save themselves. They were looking out for themselves. Aren't you so glad when Jesus was on the cross? Remember when they cried out to Jesus, hey, you saved others. Why don't you come down off that cross and save yourself? Aren't you glad that Jesus wasn't trying to save himself? No, Jesus went on that cross for you and for me. He knew that he had to die on that cross in order for us to be saved. He went through that not because he wanted to, because that was what God had sent him here to do. And these men, they're looking out for themselves. They're trying to flee and save themselves. And Paul gives them some instruction and says, listen, hey, it's interesting. Paul's gone from what? A prisoner to not officially, but the captain, right? He's sort of saying, hey, and look what they do. Once they've seen that what Paul said has come to fruition, look what they do in verse number 32. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Hey, these soldiers said, hey, Paul, and by the way, who are the soldiers getting their instruction from? From the centurion, right? And we'll talk about him a little more as we go through. And so right away, when they hear what Paul says, he says, hey, take care of that. They cut that. Nobody's leaving. Nobody's leaving. Why? Because that's what Paul said. Paul said, if as long as you abide in the ship, be fine. You try to leave the ship, you'll not be saved. And these soldiers let the boat fall off. Understand this morning, we are not saved eternally. We are not kept through trials. We cannot rely on the promises of God if we are not in submission to God's word. You don't get saved any way you want to. The only way to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. We try to go outside of God's word, and we want to get our own way, or we don't know if I'm good enough. No, it better line up with the word of God. And once we are saved, if we expect God to do something for us, and we want to trust God, we talked about some answers to prayer here, we want to trust God through the trials. Listen, then we better make sure we're living for God the way they're supposed to. And don't expect God to move when we're not willing to come under the authority of His Word. Hey, when the prodigal son went out on his own, what happened? He wasted his substance with riotous living. Hey, you know what happened? God started to work in his life when he turned back to God and did what God had commanded him to do. We cannot expect God to do what he said if we're not willing to come under the authority of his word. And so as Paul gives them instruction, they come under that. And look at verse number 33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. Paul gives us another promise here, as he's talked about already. He says, I want you to understand something. You do what you're told here. No one's going to die. Not a hair of your head will be harmed. And so what does Paul tell them to do? Verse number 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken, he began to eat. And so Paul leads in this example. He says, hey, it's time to give thanks to God. It's time to nourish with what God has given us, nourish ourselves. And so Paul does that, sets the example, says it's good for your health. It's good for their physical health. We're supposed to take care of our physical bodies and do that. And he says, listen, it's been 14 days. There's nothing wrong with fasting. But the reason these guys hadn't eaten yet, they were scared to death. And they didn't know with supplies and how long they would have something. And so Paul says, hey, I believe what God has said. He's going to take care of us. And says, and I want you to go ahead and take it. So he said, trust what God's saying, give thanks. And they partook of God's provision. And what happened? Verse number 36, then were they all of good cheer. Paul had encouraged them earlier, right? Verse 22 says, I exhort you to be of good cheer. Verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. We can be of good cheer when we trust the promises of God, right? We can be of good cheer when we trust those promises of God and see what God's doing. As God, we see those results. We were talking about that with Brother Bill Watson last night. And you want to stay encouraged and stay encouraged and stay encouraged and stay encouraged, and that's great. And man, he's been such a great example of that. But it's also nice to get some good news once in a while, right? And be of good cheer. God's going to take care of it. God's going to take care of it. And here Paul says, be of good cheer. I think part of it, all right, this is just me as a Baptist, part of it is they got to eat some food, right? I mean, anytime I get to eat, then that helps my attitude a little bit, and some good food. And so they got together, broke some bread, ate some together. And Paul said, be of good cheer. Look at verse number 37. We were in all in the ship, 216 souls. 276 souls that God provided for because he said he was going to, that God took care of, that God preserved. And so, first of all, we have a group that wants to move out and say, hey, we're going to do what we want to. And Paul says, no. You go outside of the word of God. You go outside of what God has said, then we can't expect the promises of God to hold. Hey, God's given us his promise, yes, and we do those things that are said in his word, and we follow what he says. And then he says, hey, let me help you out with this. No one's going to die. It's time to, you know, and I know it's difficult, especially when you're going through a difficult circumstance. I know that's not easy. But I tell you what, the more we trust God to take care of it, the better our spirit's going to be. It is. And listen, I know... I know some of you have been there, man, and there's so many things. You say, let me just tell you, don't know this and this and this and this happened, and then get discouraged. I was out yesterday morning. I went to my in-laws, did a surprise birthday party for my mother-in-law, and so we were there this weekend. And I went out yesterday morning just to grab one thing from the store real quick in the morning. And I don't know if I was doing a good deed. I was doing it for my children. That's what I'm supposed to do, right? So it wasn't much of a good deed. I was just fulfilling my responsibility. So I went up to grab something real quick from the store, and I get back in the car, and my car won't start. You know, it's not the biggest deal. They're not the biggest trial that anybody went through yesterday, all right? But my car won't start. I can't get it to start. And so I start looking, and I found this out in our world today, that nobody has jumper cables, all right? So I went out checking around. Nobody had jumper. I had a lot of people willing to help me, but nobody went into, I had gone into Food Lion to get some. Went into Food Lion, no jumper cables in the whole store, nothing, all right, that they could help me with. And so it's not a big deal. So, I mean, hey, Lord, it'd be great, because already I'm all right. I could get jumped. I could go to the store, get a battery, And so anyway, I finally called my wife, and we weren't that far, but I was trying to get taken care of so they wouldn't have to, nobody would have to come out and help me. Anyway, so I called and see if they could come. Well, then I went to, I already had the hood up, and I'm a Mr. Charles is in here, is he? All right, because he knows the truth. Now, all y'all know the truth. I'm not a very good mechanic. I can put gas in. I can do that. That's about it. But with our van, you got to take the whole. You know this, Brother Jason. You got to do one. You got to take the whole engine apart to get to the battery. All right, on my Honda Odyssey. So I had to take all this stuff off to do it. And so anyway, so I went to pull up the red, black, right? So Dad taught me. All right. So I did, but anyway, I went to pull it up so I'd be ready when they came. And when I did, I was like, that's not supposed to happen. The cable came on up too. All right, so I figured, well, maybe that's an issue here. So anyway, long story short, all I had to do was just reattach the cable, and it was good to go. Now, that was sort of an answer, but not a big thing. Not a big thing as you're going through that was not a big trial, all right, but something, man, I didn't want. And all of a sudden, I went from, I'm going to have to get jumped, I'm going to go get a battery, to I'm running and here, and then when you see me out in the parking lot this afternoon, you'll know it happened again, all right? You're going through a tough time. Trust God. And trust God that He's going to come in. It may not work out exactly like it did for me yesterday, but trust Him. Trust Him, trust Him. And it'll improve your spirit. It'll improve your spirit. It'll improve how you react to the situations because you trust what God is going to do. You cannot be saved, Paul said, unless you abide in the ship. And then he gives him assurance that no one's going to die. And then, of course, verse 44, the verse we read to start, the last part of the verse is, so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Isn't it great how God works things out? Look at verse 39. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they what? They discovered a certain creek with a shore. Who think helped them discover that? God did, right? Hey, they discovered, hey, here's a place that we might could get a little closer to land. So they discover. God leads them in that. They discover that creek. And it tells us there in verse 39, if at the end of the verse, if it were possible to thrust in the ship. And so they're able to thrust the ship in there. When they do that, what happens? The Bible tells us, verse 41, and falling to a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast, remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. What happens to the ship? It gets broken. By the way, that's what Paul said back then, right? You're going to lose the ship, but you're going to be all right. And so they, and by the way, you'll sacrifice a ship for human life, right? There's things that are more important than the things that we have. And so they take the ship and they drive it in there and the ship is broken. And then here comes another crisis. Look at verse number 42. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. We've already had the sailors who are a little bit selfish, right? They want to save themselves. Now the soldiers get a little bit selfish. Most of you know this. You've probably heard this in church before. But under Roman law, if a soldier had a prisoner and that prisoner escaped, then the soldier was killed. That's what they would do. That would obviously motivate you to keep that prisoner. And so these soldiers knew if these prisoners, any of them escaped, that was their life on the line. And so the easiest thing for them to make sure they don't escape is what? Go ahead and take care of them now. Hey, sacrifice these lives to keep my life. There's self-preservation. And so now they become selfish. Whereas before, Paul had to step in. Now Paul's the one that's being threatened. Earlier it wasn't Paul that's being threatened. The sailors were about to leave. Now it's Paul that's being threatened. But look at verse 43. Now, before I read verse 33, let's back up a little bit. Let's go all the way back to verse number 10. No, verse number 9. Now when much time was spent, this is, we talked about this last week, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already passed, Paul admonished them and said to them, "Sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of ship, but also of our lives." Verse 11. "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." And we talked about this last week, but he put the wisdom of the world above the word of God, right? And I tell you, we get in trouble when we do that. But now we have this centurion who, at the beginning of this voyage, was willing to listen to those that were experts over Paul. And look what's changed because of Paul's testimony in verse 43. "But the centurion," same man, "willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose." Hey, who steps in? The centurion. Says, "Hey guys, we're not killing anybody. Hey, the only reason we're all alive right now," he understood, "is as Paul had told them earlier, that God has said, I'm going to take care of you, Paul, and I'm going to take care of everybody with you. The only reason we're still alive is because of that man right there, and we're not doing anything to him." He's willing to save Paul. Kept them from their purpose, and instead, verse 43, "commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of ship." Hey, why was the ship not saved? Why was the ship broken up? To give them an opportunity to get to shore. And so it came to pass. I'm reminded on this anniversary of Dad and Mom's salvation. One of the things that Dad would say that goes through our mind all the time, everything finally gets here. You know, when God says something's going to happen, it will come to pass. The Bible says here, it came to pass. What comes to pass? Exactly what God said. Hey, God's promise was that I'm going to take everyone on the ship and I'm going to keep them safe. And what happens? It came to pass. Hey, what God has told us in His Word is going to come to pass. Hey, we sang this morning, hallelujah, what a Savior, when He comes. Hey, Jesus is coming back again. How do you know? Because that's what He said. That's what He said. What He said is going to come to pass. And what happens? You have 276 souls. They get to see the testimony of Paul that what God said will come to pass. I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us how many of these men were saved, spiritually speaking. I don't know. But I know this, that they got to see what God said come to pass, because it always does. Hey, on the other side of that trial, on the other side of that shipwreck, on the other side of that difficulty, we get to look back and see how God worked all things together for good. What does the song say? Farther along, we'll know all about it, right? So I don't understand what I'm going through now. I understand this shipwreck that I'm in, and boy, we've been 14 days without eating. We've unloaded the ship. We're trying to do everything we human. Let me tell you what. Just trust what God said. Because what God said will come to pass. It will. Father, I pray that You'd help us this morning as we think about what You are doing in our lives. We think about the promises You've made, and Lord, the Word of God that we know, and Lord, we think about the circumstances that come about in each of our lives, Lord, and every person's dealing with something different. I don't know. Lord, You do. I don't know the different situations. I know some. I know some of the difficulties that people are going through. I know some of the trials. There's sometimes we can get to the point where we feel like we are in the midst of a storm and a shipwreck, and it's not a whole lot of hope. And as we mentioned last week, Lord, a group of men that had given up hope. had given up hope. And yet, as you had one man on there, Paul, who trusted your word and was following your will, that you saw fit to keep all these men safe. And Lord, what a great testimony for us as we look at that. And Lord, first of all, Lord, a great reminder of salvation. The Lord, it's not up to me this morning. It's not up to me to keep my salvation. Lord, it's not up to me to earn my way to heaven. It's not up to me to make sure that I'm good to go. No, Lord, you have made us a promise that if we will accept what you've done for us, if we'll understand we're sinners and that sin will send us to hell for eternity, and we turn to you and repent of those sins and trust you as our Savior. Lord, you promised. You promised us that you'll take us to where you are. Lord, as Jesus told his disciples, that where I am, there ye may be also. Well, that's a promise we have from you. Lord, we know we're saved this morning, not just saved or here on earth, but saved for eternity because of what the Word of God says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, I thank you for the everlasting life you've given me. And Lord, what a promise we have. Lord, this morning, if we're saved, we have some promises. We have some promises from your word. Lord, that if we fulfill and follow what you've told us to do, so many things, Lord, has came across my mind this morning. You said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what you told us. And Lord, as we're going through the trial, sometimes it seems like we're alone. But Lord, you've told us you'll be there. And thank you for that, Lord. I pray this morning, we trust in the promises of your word. I pray there's someone this morning who's never ever trusted you as Savior. Lord, help them to realize their attempts, their desire, no matter how sincere it may be, won't help them any unless they come under the authority of the Word of God and trust what you've said. And Lord, come to them, saving knowledge of you. I pray for anyone like that this morning who's not sure about their salvation and those that are saved, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us to live a daily life, trusting your promises. Lord, be encouraged by the truth of the Word of God, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If everybody's standing with their head bowed and eyes closed this morning and nobody looking around, let me ask you this. Do you know for sure? Do you know for sure if you were to die today? I don't know what's going to happen in your future. Mrs. Yancey, sitting down here not long ago, not many months ago, and great testimony of salvation. And God took her home. God took her home. I don't know when your appointed time is, but I do know this, that everyone has an appointed time. And so whenever that may be, if that was today, do you know for sure that you would spend eternity in heaven? If you say, listen, I know that this morning, not because I was born saved or not because somebody else, no, because there was a time when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you could say that, would you just slip your hand up like I'm going to say, I know I'm saved this morning, put your hand right back down. Thank you. Here this morning, you say, listen, I don't know for sure about my salvation. I try to do good, and I try to sometimes do right. I hope my good outweighs my bad. That's not going to take you to heaven. So I'm trying really hard. That's great, but that's not going to take you to heaven. Here this morning, you say, I don't know for sure about my salvation. I promise you, I will not embarrass you. I will not. But I tell you this, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. And you say, I'm not sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. Just not positive about that. If you're like that this morning, would you just do this for me? Would you just slip here up and say, pray for me? I'm not going to call on you at all. If you slip here up and say, pray for me this morning, I'm not sure if I was to die today that I'd go to heaven. Don't know. Let me tell you, if that's you this morning, you need to get that taken care of. You find someone, find these ladies up here that play the instruments, find our ushers, these men, someone to take the Word of God and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Not what we say, what God says. If you're saved this morning, I know, man, different. I'm dealing with this. I understand that. Man, be encouraged by the promises of God. Be encouraged by those promises and know this, that what God said is going to happen will happen. It will, as we trust Him. As the music plays this morning, you come forward, Lord, speak to you.
good. Man, I've been early all day today. You know, I'm preparing here. But anyway, man, early, got early Sunday school. Or I let you out early. You say, why'd you let me out early out of church? Because I expect you to be here tonight, Tuesday night for Fall Festival, and Wednesday night. I've got your schedule. The rest of the week, do what you want, all right? But tonight, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, try to be here for that if you can. Also, isn't next weekend time change? Is that right? So if I don't see you again until next Sunday. Yeah, I always laugh. I think it was Mr. Hahn that told me that. He said, man, I don't mind the time change and fall back, especially. I just hate getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to move my clock back. But anyway, so next Sunday morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, get up, move your clock back, all right, and fall back. But make sure you're here on time next Sunday morning with that as well, all right. So enjoy the week this week, and Mr. Hayes, why don't you close out in prayer if you would.
Help us, guys, when we leave here. Give us a good, relaxing afternoon, Father. We look forward to being in your house.